following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is Sunday. I keep forgetting what day it is. Man, It's Sunday, September 12th, because yesterday was the 20th anniversary of September 11th. I'm sure all of you know where you were on that very day. And during actually this first segment, I'm going to share you a little story that I haven't told this story in a long time about where I was and what I did on September 11th. But today is September 12th, and today is probably the one of those days that we wish we could relive, that September 12th, 20 years ago, because that was the day that America actually felt like America. It was a day, it didn't matter your politics, it didn't matter the color of your skin, it didn't matter what language you spoke, it didn't matter, abled, disabled, it just didn't matter who you were. We were all Americans. We were all proud to wave an American flag in support of our country, in support of what we were going to do. It was just a very proud day in America, and I so wish that we could get back into that kind of mode again, but we couldn't be more polarized right now in America than ever before. I mean, were we more polarized last year when Donald Trump was in office compared to where we are now? I don't think so. I think we're even more polarized. But we are, I don't know, how do you even measure that? We are polarized for sure. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. But a lot of those frustrations are led by what we read and what we see and what we hear on the news and how we react. And a lot of what we talk about on this radio show every Sunday at Dollars and Cents is to try to put some perspective behind some things, some what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. If you haven't been over to Daniela's, swing by there. The garlic bread is awesome, and that's free. Well, at least the first round is. When you check in there for dinner, I mean, the garlic bread is just the best. And seems like restaurants are getting busier again. I tried to find a reservation on last night for dinner. I actually tried to do it on Friday, too. And it's tough. It's tough. People are not, people are busy. I mean, you go to the restaurants and they're packed, and I'm so happy for them. I just wish they could find more staff so that they could accommodate even more people. That's staff both at the server end of the connection with the clients, but also with the customers, but also in the kitchens. A lot of people don't want to go back to the kitchen, but hey, folks, that extra check from the state of Massachusetts has stopped. So hopefully, it's another push to inspire people to get back to work, start working for their money, and being part of society and being back in there. And we just want you there. We all need to get back to work. Anyways, like I said, 20 years ago was 9/11. And let me tell you a little story. So September 11th, I was about to run a national conference for the Financial Planning Association out in San Diego that was going to begin on September 12th, 20 years ago. And so September 11th, Laura, my wife, and I headed off to the airport in Logan to board Flight 10, American Airlines Flight 10, Boston to San Diego. We got there about, I don't know, 8 o'clock that morning. We were in the American Airlines gate area, which was in the older terminal then. They've now reshaped this thing. But at the time, there were like four or five gates that were right next to each other. So little did we know that the gate before to the left of where we were going to be boarding shortly was the gate for Flight 11 that was scheduled to fly to Los Angeles. So those, we saw all those people boarding their plane, boarding. And we're waiting our turn. And fortunately, we had a friend at the time that was working for American Airlines. And she told us that if we wanted, we could hang out in the Admiral's Club, which is one of these club rooms that they have at the airport. And so we were just kind of hanging out in the Admiral's Club for a while. Had a drink there, went back to our seats, and then boarded our flight when they called for us to board Flight 10 to San Diego. We get on the plane, and we're all situated in there, and we're not going anywhere. It seems like we've been sitting here for a little while, and the pilot comes on the line, and he tells us, folks, we're going to hang here for a little bit. There's been a little bit of disturbance. Hang tight, but feel free, if you want to use your cell phones, feel free to do so. Now, remember, this was a time 20 years ago where cell phone usage on an airplane was really not allowed. They thought it interrupted signals and all that kind of stuff. But 20 years ago, our cell phones weren't all that strong at all. Anyways, and so I used my cell phone. In fact, my father actually called me as I was sitting on the phone. He says, "Are you okay?" I said, "What do you mean, am I okay?" He says, "Well, I was just checking. We heard a plane flew into the World Trade Center." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I had no idea. And then all of a sudden, you start to hear this grumbling of all these people on the plane of this accident, this plane that flew through one of the Twin Towers. Next thing you know, they tell us, "Folks, we're going to be grounded here for a little bit. We're going to let you all off the plane. You just got to wait in the gate area and we'll be reboarding shortly." So they take us all off the plane and we're now hanging out in the gate area. The TVs are on, CNN's on, and everybody's standing around watching CNN and watching what now becomes the second plane to fly through the second tower. And we're sitting here in the airport thinking, what is going on? And so many people are saying, "I'm getting out of here. I'm going home." Well, the problem was we weren't allowed to leave. We were actually locked in the gate area. They were not allowing any type of movement of people from the inside of the gate area and outside. We were just there. And so I reached back out to my friend who was at the American Airlines Admiral's Club and say, "Hey, can we hang out here for a while until we figure out what's going on?" She says, "Sure." So we go back into the Admiral's Club and we're there for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. And then she comes out and tells me, she says, "You know, you may not want to stay here." I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Well, this is where the families will be gathering after following the news of what's just happened with the planes crashing." She says, "You might want to wait out in the gate area." So sure enough, we got out and sat in the gate area. And as we're sitting there, we're wondering, I'm trying to figure out, how am I supposed to get out to San Diego? There's a conference that's starting tomorrow. I need to rebook my flight. So I'm on the phone trying to call American Airlines. And as you can well imagine, it's busy. And then they finally put me on a later flight later in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. They're moving me around, all that stuff. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get my luggage? What's going to happen here? I mean, pretty selfish stuff, right? When you think about the whole enormity of what's going on. But we're all thinking for ourselves at this point, right? And so we're sitting there. It's now getting to be close to like 10:30, quarter of 11. We've been sitting here for a while. And the next thing you know, a whole slew of police officers and other security personnel says, "Everybody out now." And we have to get out of the gate area as quickly as possible. And now, you know, no one's really panicking, but people are moving with some significant authority. And the way, remember, this is before TSA even existed, right? We didn't have those protocols. So all you were doing was just going through that metal detector again. We went backwards the same way we went in. We go through that metal detector, not the thing that swirls around you, but we just walk through it one at a time. And we all had to go. There was hundreds of people, I suppose, all had to go through that metal detector one at a time. And what's on the other side of the metal detector? About 60 press. Cameras, news reporters, everybody with cameras on that metal detector watching every person that walks through that metal detector. And we don't know what's going on. We're just going through and I'm like, how am I going to get my luggage? That's my biggest worry. Where's my luggage? How am I going to get that? And so,
But, you know, when you're at the airport, that's exactly... I mean, you would have no way of knowing what happened, because it's never happened in the... Ever in the past.
Ever before.
But, I mean, that's... I mean, I used to travel for a living, and that's what you think. How am I going to get my luggage? I got to get to San Diego. I don't care about anything else.
I got to get my luggage.
How do I get my luggage? What are these police people doing? Why is there reporters here? I need my luggage.
Yeah, it's very true. And so we got through, and so now we go down to the baggage claim area. And the baggage... Nothing's moving, but there's hundreds and hundreds of people in the baggage claim area all waiting for their luggage, not knowing whether luggage is even going to appear, because you can be well assured that as they're monitoring each of us going through the metal detector, they got to be monitoring every single piece of luggage that's been stored under the plane. So finally they say, your luggage is going to be delayed. You may be able to pick it up in 2 to 3 hours. And so Laura and I decide to go to my car and we drive back home, because I got to figure out this trip out to San Diego, because I got to get there tomorrow, because there's going to be 4,000 people at a national conference at the Marriott in San Diego. I got to figure this out. I'm not going to deal with all the chaos and all the stuff, because honestly, being able to use your cell phone that day at the airport was very difficult. There's only limitations on what the cell signal could be, and everybody's on their phone. You couldn't get through. Calls were dropping. I said, let's just get home. So we get home, and I think it was Peter Jennings, who we were listening to on the news at the time. He's talking about what's going on with the planes and whatnot, and he reports that the airlines are going to be releasing luggage to people that were at the Peter Jennings, because I guess this must have been a national decision of what they were going to do, releasing luggage around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So Laura and I first went home. We took care of our stuff, and I started making phone calls. And sure enough, I get now on a 4 o'clock flight. And then I get a call that I find out the 4 o'clock flight's been canceled. So now I'm going to get on an 8 o'clock flight. And the 8 o'clock flight's been canceled. And then all of a sudden, President Bush at the time, as you well know, grounds all airlines. And no one knows when the airlines will fly again. And I'm thinking, selfishly, terribly selfishly, how is this conference going to happen starting tomorrow with 4,000 people? Well, you begin to realize it just is not going to happen. Just is not going to happen. And all of a sudden, our own selfish lives have to be refocused on the important issue at hand. And suddenly you're back at home realizing that we have just been attacked by terrorists. It was the first time on American soil that we've ever imagined something like that. My daughter, Alana, who I think was 2 at the time, and I mean, how many times did we watch that plane fly through the tower on television? My daughter, who was 2 at the time, she kept on referring to it as the fireworks. She wanted to see the fireworks again. And we realized, this is bad. We have to turn off the television. But we couldn't get information any quicker on the television than anywhere else, because back then, we didn't have smartphones. We had flip phones. When we texted, we had to hit, you know, the letter B 3 times to get the letter D to pop up on our, you know, on our text. And it was a very, very strange time. And so, you know, I tell you this story because, like I said, I was on flight 10 headed to San Diego. And fortunately, President Bush at the time grounded planes. Our plane was grounded. We couldn't take off. And for the longest time, if you went to the CNN website, which you'd have to find through your computer, not on your phone, because we didn't have those kind of smartphones then, it listed several planes that they believe also had potential terrorists on for other challenges, other places where they could have derailed a plane and taken it down. And Flight 10, San Diego, was on that list. Now, whether it really had somebody or not, who knows? I don't know. But to this day, I mean, I thank President Bush for landing all the planes and taking care of the safety of the American people. And I think that's what we really need to do right now, is focus on the safety of the American people. And wherever we are, whether there's still Americans still sitting in Afghanistan, we need to focus on the safety of the American people and get them home. Get everybody home that needs to be home, that needs to be safe. And we need to take care of our people. And that's what 9/11 reminds me of the significant role that we play as a country, to serving our people, our American citizens, making sure that we're taken care of. We need to fix the homeless problem in America. We need to fix some of the challenges that people can't find jobs, people can't live within the society that they want to live in. We need to take care of those people first. That's my opinion. That's what America is all about. Yes, America can be a very large country, is a very large country. It has resources. It can take care of all sorts of other folks. But if we don't take care of our own first, what are we saying to the rest of the country? Is what is it? On each of us to figure it out, but we'll take care of others outside of this country? I think we need to focus on our people first. Could we solve the homeless problem here in America? Of course we could. We could solve it. Do we want to? I don't know. But you know, here's the other part of it. We deal with vaccines right now. We got a problem with the vaccinations. President comes out and says, I want to mandate vaccinations across this country. To be very honest, I'm not opposed to that. I want people to be vaccinated. Mandating is one thing, but I still don't understand why people won't get it with the fact that it's no longer emergency use. It's been approved. It's been effective. It works. The problem is trying to solve the homeless problem, you'd run into the same political issue. There are some people that are much happier being homeless. Think about it. There's a lot of people that are, they say they're miserable or they don't want to be homeless, but their lifestyle as a homeless person might not be so bad for some people. I'm not saying all. We would love to clean up the homeless problem. I mean, I was just in California this past week and I saw Tent City. And if you have, I mean, and it's not just Tent City. It is tents upon tents upon tents upon tents. Every street corner, every place you go in the most, you might see some of the most beautiful buildings, but down at the bottom of the street, there's a bunch of tents and people living in them. Now, can we fix that problem? Do people want it to be fixed? That's one of the dilemmas that we have in America, where America is all about choice. America is all about rights and freedoms, and we get to elect and choose what we want to do. So if we think people need to be helped, let's help them. If they want to be helped, but if they don't, what should we do? Force them to be helped? I don't know. There is a lot of different questions to be asked. I don't know the answers to it, but when it comes to your money, and that's what this show is really all about, your money and financial advice in a language you can understand, it impacts it. Your tax dollars right now, your tax dollars that you have are sitting in the hands of the Taliban right now with weapons that they're using to kill Afghanistan women and citizens. We paid for that, folks. Is that impacting our economy? Well, it's impacting the direction of what we do in a variety of different areas here in this country. Yes. Is there a bit of grandstanding that I'm doing this morning? Sure. I'm not too definitive on anything. I'm just sharing some thoughts, sharing some frustrations, because we're all feeling those frustrations. Damn it, I don't want to wear a mask anymore. I don't want to have to be told to wear a mask or feel a responsibility to have to wear a mask. I just want everybody to be healthy. Is that unreasonable to want everybody to be vaccinated, to be able to walk down the streets, to go into a business, to walk into a supermarket or a theater and know that I can walk in there safely without having to wrap a piece of cloth around my face? That's what I want. I want us to be healthy. And we can only be healthy if we all work together to get healthy. But the more we fight it, the more frustrating it becomes, the more violent some people will be. And we need to fix that. All right. I've bantered enough. People are making money like crazy in the stock market right now. And people have to be careful. Because we're in a situation right now where the term is buy fast and sell slow. What that means is you hear about something that's likely to go up or going to do really well. You have a good feeling about it and you buy it right away, not really thinking through all the implications. But then it goes up and then it goes up and then you go, should I sell it? Or should I see if it can go up even further? So let's talk about that when we get back. Buy fast, sell slow. How do we handle our money? How do we make smart financial decisions? Well, I'm going to try to provide that to you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years,
Perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good, but how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante Peabody.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante at 41 Cross Street. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll give our office a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I'm sitting here live in studio here at the Beverly Studios across from the North Beverly train station this morning. And I realized that Hank Morse is back in studio simply because all of the signs and the notes that are hanging up here are in 24-point type, maybe 48-point type. You know, Hank and I are both 55 years old, and thank you, Hank, so I can read these notes as well, because this small font stuff isn't working for me anymore. Oh, man, it's pretty funny, though, to look around here and see how big everything
is. It's quite decorated, isn't it?
It is.
Wow. It is.
He's got pictures of tacos here over here on the right-hand side. He's got his reminder about what the phone number is in nice, big, bold letters. He even has a reminder of his email. I guess Hank can't remember that it's Hank at NorthShore1049.com in nice, big letters. It's
Mark, there's a woman across the street in the train station parking lot who can actually read that.
She can actually read that, I know. So it's really so nice to be back in here. I'm glad Hank's back here in the morning. He does a great job with the morning show during the week. Truly a professional. He really knows how to put together the news and the stories and the sports and all that kind of stuff.
He really does, and he's a pleasure to work with.
He really is.
He's a real, as you said, a professional.
He really is. He's really a great, great guy. Hey, I wanted to bring up something. I'll finish the thought that I had from the first subject, and then I'll move on to something else because, you know, oh, look, a fly. I just seem to just jump around. Well, as my producer knows, I came well-prepared this morning. Did I not?
Reams and reams, reams and reams, reams, yeah, of notes.
Yeah, I said I'm flying.
He has to make two trips to the car.
Yeah, I said to Biff this morning, I said, I am totally flying naked today. I had nothing in my hands. There is,
and you had nothing in your hands.
Right, and so I apologize for the rant that I just did in the first segment because I didn't even know I was going to go that long. But anyways, I was telling you in the last segment about this whole concept that's called now buy fast and sell slow. It's really interesting with Robinhood and all of these new online brokerage companies that, you know, the kids are starting to set up where they're investing $50 or $5 a week or whatever in these things to buy individual stocks. They're hearing these stories and they go, gotta buy it. And then they make this money. But what's happening is many of them are going for a ride. You've heard of these things called meme stocks. Some of these stocks that get popular because of stories that get posted on social media or whatever. These companies might not even be making any money, yet the stock price, because there's so much more demand to buy it, the price goes up. And so people end up buying these stocks, and then they go, should I sell it? Nah, I'm not going to sell it. Like, take a stock like Moderna, for instance. A year and a half ago, who had heard of Moderna stock? You'd never heard of it, right?
And then all of a sudden you hear that they're one of these companies that might be trying to create a vaccine for this, for COVID. And so some people bought some of the stock. And not surprisingly, but surprisingly too, because who knows what would happen, the stock is up tenfold. You've made 10 times your money and then some. And it's one of the best performing stocks so far for the year. And so let's say you invested, you know, $1,000 and now it's worth $10,000. Do you sell it? Do you hold it? I mean, you were quick to buy it, but what did you want to do? What did you think that $1,000 was going to do? What did you think it was going to turn into $2,000, $10,000, $100,000, $1,000,000? What did you think it was going to do? So when do you sell? That's always the big question. When we make money, we always have to wonder, should we sell? Think about it. When you try to sell your house, maybe you won't get the price that you want. You say, I'll hold on to it a little more. Let's see if I can get more. Let's see if I can get more. Let's see if I can get more. And then what happens? Sometimes the price drops. And that prospect of being able to get more is sometimes off the table, at least for the short term. So what do you do? How do you decide? Well, first thing that I tell people is stop buying individual stocks. I know that sounds kind of cavalier to say that, but we have no business buying individual stocks as investment strategies. Individual stocks are risky because as much as we want to believe that we will be long-term investors, we are short-term worriers. Every single day we look at the price and we talk to our spouse, we talk to our friends, we read the news, we try to find some type of a story that will support our conviction for why we might own the stock or disagree with some other possession about why it might be going down or in a different direction. You and I don't have the capacity to understand why stocks go up or go down. Buying 100 shares of any stock, I don't care whether it's Google, Apple, HP, Sony, I don't care what you buy. The person that understands stocks better than you and I do is someone that's called a portfolio manager. Someone that's buying 100,000 shares or 1,000,000 shares. You know why? Because they have a team that is focused 24/7 on research, analytics, visiting the company, talking to management, really understanding what's going on behind the scenes. They know what's going on. You and I don't. We don't know what's going on. We know what's going on based upon what we read on the internet. And of course, you know, everything on the internet is true. False. So what do you do? So that's why we encourage people to stop trying to run the rally of individual stocks, unless you get some money to play with. But your serious money, buy packaged products, buy mutual funds, buy index funds, buy exchange traded funds, where you have professional management, where you have diversification, where you can reduce your overall costs, where you can structure a portfolio that allows you access to so many different types of industries and products and companies and styles and management approaches, all of that so that you can make a better long-term decision. That's what you got to be doing. You got to be stop buying stocks. And then when you buy these mutual funds, when you buy this portfolio, this structured thing that you're building based on an asset allocation model, some in stocks, some in bonds, some in cash, some large cap, mid cap, small cap, value, growth, all that stuff. You've heard of it? Then you have to trust in the process and you have to be patient. But many people don't want to be patient. They just don't want to be patient. They want action. They want something to happen. Well, one of the things that we've seen over the past several decades is the fact that markets don't always go up. And we've been very fortunate over the past several years to see the market primarily go up. We had a big hiccup in 2020 when the coronavirus crash came, where the market dropped 34% in a matter of about 6 weeks. A very, very quick drop. And people wondered, should I get out? Should I get out? What should I do? This time it's different. People could be dying. People are dying. What do I do? Do I get out? And the advice that we gave to our clients, the 450 households that we serve, was the same advice that we gave in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s. And that was, we trust in the management of the people that are running your portfolios, that are running each of the mutual funds. We're going to let them decide what changes to be made within the portfolio, within the mutual funds. And we, as your financial advisor, will rebalance when necessary and provide a rational voice during these emotional times. Folks, markets drop dramatically a lot. I mean, they at least a couple times a decade. Think about this. I know it's hard to believe. Back in 1973 and 74, the market dropped 48%, triggered by the OPEC oil embargo and escalating inflation. In the 1980s, 80 to 82, there was a double dip recession and the market dropped 27%. In 1987, as I was starting my junior year at Babson College, the market dropped 34% in October of that year. That was called Black Monday. 1990s, there was a 20% decline following the Iraqi invasion of the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait, and of course, I'm sorry. The 1990s, there was a 20% decline following the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait, and then in the 2000 to 2002s, there was a 49% meltdown caused by the dot-com bust and, of course, the 9/11 terrorist attacks. 2007 to 2009, we had a global financial crisis where the markets dropped 57%. And in 2020, a 34% drop due to the coronavirus crash. Now, those are pretty significant drops. Some happen quicker than others. But in any of those situations, did everybody lose all their money? If you were well allocated, if you had a portfolio that was well balanced, that reflected an asset allocation strategy made up of stock funds, bond funds, cash, large cap, small cap, did you lose all your... No. And each time we recovered from those times when we said, oh, but this one's different. But this time it's different, Mark. I know it's different this time. Things are going to be bad. Things are going to be bad for a long time. Never in my lifetime will I ever see the market where it was before. And each time we come out of it, we come out stronger, we come out better, we come out more powerful as a country, an economic superpower. And that's what America is. America is an economic superpower. And we need to continue to invest in it. And we should invest in it. I know I'm going to, and I'm going to encourage our clients to invest in it because the future of America's economics is powerful and great. How we deal with some of these political issues and governmental issues, you know, we'll deal with that. Those are going to be noise, but we're still going to come out stronger. We always will. I'm an optimist, but I got to take a break. I want to remind you before we head off on a break, I want to remind you about our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your mailbox, your electronic mailbox, the inbox, we call it. Lands there every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. You want to get my newsletter, 7,500 people are subscribed to it. Go to the bottom of any page of my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Put in your name, your email address, and boom, that's it. You can leave me a message if you want. Feel free to. Or if you'd like to schedule an initial consultation at no cost to you, or even just want to talk to me, you can leave a little message there in the comment box as well. That's how you get the newsletter. And but we got to take a quick break. Biff's sending me off, you know, to get something to drink, I think. He wants me to take a break. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
It's not about the money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I got to tell you, a few weeks ago when we played this little intro, it's not about the money, money, money. I got some feedback because I said, folks, it is about the money. At the end of the day, it is about the money. And apparently some people were offended by that. Well, you're wrong. It is about the money. Sorry. It is. At the end of the day, money, when you don't have it, you figure it's not about the money. But I bet if you had it, you'd feel a lot better. Now, I will tell you this. Money can buy happiness. It really can buy happiness. But there is a point in your life where the amount of money it stops buying happiness. So let me try to paraphrase some of this stuff, what I talked about a couple weeks ago, to try to help some of the people that were a little upset with me. If you go out and ask people, how much money would you like to be making in order to feel good and be happy about the amount of money you're making? This question was asked. It's been asked of Americans around this country for years. And the answer always seems to be the same. When you ask people, how much money would you have to make to be happy? Most people said if they could make twice what they're making right now, they would be very happy. How do you feel about that? You know, you're right. There comes a point when you're making enough money where if you're making, I don't know, $100,000 or $500,000, where I guess you can't buy much more happiness. You can buy more things, but you can't buy much more happiness. I don't know, but this whole idea that not having money will be better than having money, I don't believe that at all. I mean, we are happier when we have money. Now, I like to think I'm a lot happier when I've earned my money rather than someone handing it to me. And you can take that for whatever that's, you can take that message however you want. But I think working for your money, earning your money, sometimes being lucky and being able to manage through your money to make decisions along the way with other, and you being responsible for those decisions, not other people being responsible for those decisions. That's what makes you happy. That's what makes you a better person. So being happy about money, yeah, money can provide happiness. It can provide you a nicer home. It can allow you to buy things that you might want. It allow you to have a different kind of a social experience. But that's not saying that money is all of it. Money is part of it. The other part of us is just being human and respectful and kind and thoughtful and generous and in a lot of different ways. So if I offended anybody when I said it really is about the money and you're wrong if you don't think it isn't about the money, that was not my intention to upset anybody, but money does mean something, folks. When you approach your life in retirement and you realize you haven't saved a nickel and there's no more paycheck coming in, are you happy? Are you happy with yourself? How do you feel? We have a responsibility to live with a foot in the present and a foot in the future. And I don't think we teach that enough. In fact, it's certainly not taught in our schools. But the importance of saving for your future is critical. And saving for your future doesn't mean, well, I'll just keep stashing it in the mattress or putting it in a safe deposit box. I can't tell you how many people I know that continue to put cash in safe deposit boxes at the bank simply because they don't trust anybody. They don't know what's going to happen. Folks, investing today when it comes to investing in mutual funds, in exchange-traded funds, even stocks and bonds, when you're investing through a legitimate brokerage house, you can trust that brokerage house to deliver on its promises. And in fact, there's insurance, not insurance to protect the market fluctuation of your accounts,
but insurance to protect against fraud for you. So I want you to just feel comfortable. Put money aside. Find a way with every paycheck that you get, whether it's putting money in your 401k, in your 403b, putting money aside every month through an automatic saving strategy in your bank account. Just do something. We need to save for our future. But here's a sad story. I am finding more and more and more people, certainly children or adult children who are in their 30s and 40s, who view their parents, and the parents have started to include them in their financial life because the parents are beginning to wonder, you know, what do I have? How do I do things? I just want to have a second opinion. And kids, these 30 and 40-year-olds who have their own children and frankly rely on mom and dad for some extra economic support. Maybe they help to pay for the daycare costs, so they pay for a variety of other things. But they see mom and dad as having all this money, and mom and dad are a little bit frivolous in the way that they spend their money. They don't spend it the way the kids do. They don't go out and blow $200 for dinner for the two of them. They're not buying expensive bottles of wine. They're not thinking twice about upgrading their flights from coach to extra legroom to business class and more. They just spend the money because, hey, why not? And the reason that gives them comfort is I know this is going to sound terrible, but they're already looking at their inheritance. And you're saying, Mark, that's terrible. You can't talk about that. Folks, I see this every day. Every day I see kids, 20, 30, even 50-year-olds, thinking to themselves, I'm going to spend for today because by the time I reach 60 or 65, I'm entitled to an inheritance. And that inheritance will carry me. I'll get Social Security, and I'll have an inheritance, and I'll have what's maybe my 401k plan. That's a lousy way to live. It's a lousy way to think about things because the older generation seems to think, I'm saving all of this money. I'm not spending it because I think I'm going to need all of this money to pay for healthcare costs as I get older and older and older. And I think that's a fallacy too. You see, Fidelity put out a report a couple of years ago that talked about the fact that it's going to cost people $250,000 over the last 10 years of their life. $250,000 over the last 10 years of their life in healthcare expenses. Is that a lot? Well, it's $25,000 a year. That's a lot of money. It's $2,000 a month, right? But if your health is healthcare and health situation is failing those last 10 years of your life, are you going on vacations? Are you doing much traveling? Are you spending money the same way you were spending it before when you were healthier? It's just another reshifting in many cases of money. And frankly, the most expensive years, that $250,000 that Fidelity reported, you weren't spending $25,000 in year one of that 10-year scheme. You were probably spending $10,000 in year one and more like $50,000 in year 10 as your health begins to deteriorate. Now, can everybody handle that situation? Does everybody have the resources to do that? No, not everybody has those resources. But those that are indigent or are needing state support don't really have to worry about it anyways because Medicaid will come in and take care of you. Medicare will provide some benefits for those that are over 65 that aren't on the Medicaid program. By the way, remember Medicaid, replace the word Medicaid with welfare. People don't like to use the word welfare because it sounds like you're impoverished or you're poor or you're living on the street or you're collecting using food stamps or an EBT card. But folks, that's what Medicaid is. So I always try to help people understand there's a difference between Medicaid and Medicare. Medicare is provided to everybody who's over the age of 65. It's health care that's provided to everybody over the age of 65. You're provided option A, that's provided to you, that's paid for. Option B, you pay for a small amount depending upon your income, and then you can buy supplements to go along with it. We've had some Medicare specialists on the radio with us on some Sunday mornings to give you some guidance. But Medicaid, remember it ends in aid, is the state stepping up and saying, you are impoverished, we will take care of you, you are a ward of the state. But God forbid we use the word welfare for our citizens who are over the age of 65 who need state-sponsored care. That's humiliating, isn't it? At least that's the way the government looks at it. But it would help us all understand the difference between Medicare and Medicaid if we just called it Medicare and welfare. That would be a little different. Never mind. I'm keep going on rants today. I know it's terrible, but the point being is that we need to save for our own personal future. And this idea that this generation of 30, 40, and 50-year-olds are waiting for their big hit to come to them at some point in the future so that they don't have to worry about saving for the future is very disappointing. And unfortunately, we as an industry in our profession are doing a disservice to the 30, 40, and 50-year-olds because we keep referring to it as the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world. That over the next 20 to 25 years, we will see the greatest transfer of wealth from one generation to the next. Think about this. When your grandparents bought their house, perhaps, or actually, when your grandparents died, let's restate that. If your grandparents died, let's say in the 70s, what did they leave to the next generation? Probably next to nothing because they had a pension, which stopped when they died. They had Social Security, which stopped when they died. They might have had a few thousand dollars in the bank. God forbid they didn't have mutual funds or stocks or anything like that. They might have had a few thousand dollars, $3,000, $4,000 in the bank. And they had a house that was worth $29,900. Boy, dividend that up, I mean, the kids are like, whoo, we're going to be rich. Let's go out and party. Let's buy the Lamborghini. That just did not happen. There was very little to be passed along, right? Oh, and by the way, back then, you actually needed a life insurance policy to bury you. Because who was going to pay for it? Did we have credit cards back then? Think about that. We barely even had credit cards back then. You're going to write a check? I don't know. Well, you didn't have the signature power on mom or dad's checkbook. You needed to wait for the life insurance check. Life has changed dramatically. Most people will celebrate their retirement by never spending the corpus of their money that they've accumulated. They'll live off the earnings. They'll live off Social Security, maybe even a pension. And they'll pass on the corpus of their investment accounts and their property that they own. And that property is no longer worth $29,900, is it? It's a lot of money to pass along. And your kids know it. It's the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world that's going to happen over the next 10 to 15 years. And I'll tell you what, the following 15 years would even be a greater transfer of wealth. The problem is the next 15 years after that, will there be any wealth to transfer at all? Will the kids blow it? Will the kids spend money irresponsibly? And I'm starting to see that. We need to teach financial responsibility to our adult children as well as to our children. It's important. It's a responsibility that we all have, and it's something that we do as financial planners at Friedman Financial. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll give our office a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We've got to take a quick break. I want to remind you once again about our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox. 3 short little stories of financial advice in a language you can understand. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and you can leave me a little comment if you'd like. Hit send, and you will be registered for this Friday's weekly newsletter. When we're back, we're going to talk about some more current events, things that are going on in the world, and hey, it's Patriots Sunday today. Patriots play their first game opening day with new quarterback Mac Jones. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries.
We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local Program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante on 41 Cross Street, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all over the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. No, not me. I was two. My father started the firm back then, and he ran this practice until 2007. He then retired, and I took over the firm. My partner, Marion Gilman, and I both run Friedman Financial now, and we've been doing so since... Well, I took it over in 2007. Marion became a partner at the office in 2010, but she's been with me 21 years. We have 450 households, manage over $600 million for our clients, and we do financial planning for everyone. This is not just a stock brokerage shop. We are far from that. Please don't ever think of us as the investment guys, because yes, that is something that we do offer investments to our clients, and we help our clients make smart financial decisions, but it's on all aspects of their financial life. Everything as it relates to what kind of withholdings will you have done on your pay stub? What type of deductibles and what type of limitations do you need on your automobile and your homeowner's insurance? Are there better ways to be utilizing your investments and strategies so that you reduce the amount of tax you pay? Because that's real important. If you can pay less in taxes, what's wrong with that? As long as we're following the law, and if the law is written and we're abiding by it, let's try to send as little taxes to the government as possible. Let's try to keep it. Let's be smart. Let's make smart decisions. Let's know whether we're going to buy, lease, or finance a car. Let's decide whether we should purchase a second home. Let's decide whether a mortgage makes sense, or whether we can give money to our kids to help them buy the first house or even pay for a college cost. All of those are conversations that we have with our clients and then some. That's what we do at Friedman Financial. That's what financial planning is all about. It's one of the reasons that we have a 99% retention rate and have had that for more than 20 years. 20 years. I was just recently doing, someone had asked us to do a little statistical analysis about our firm. And someone had asked, well, you know, how many clients do you add every year? And how many clients do you lose every year? And with 450 households, I mean, the only reason that we lose clients, that we've lost clients over the past 10 years that I could go back, is they died. Or they moved somewhere else and they said, you know, I'd rather deal face-to-face with another financial planner somewhere else. And we referred them to someone. Or the third reason is their children or someone that they know has gotten into our business. And of course, they moved their account to their family. Totally get that. But it's so few and far between. And how many people do we add every year? We add 12 to 18 new clients a year. That's what happens. But one of the things that happens when you've been doing this since 1968, like I have, is people pass away. And it's not something that you really ever think about when you're working with a financial planner. You think about, well, how can they help me make money? But when someone dies, when a spouse dies, when a parent dies and it's now left to the kids, no one's really asking, what did mom invest in? How well were their investments doing? They all want to know what happens. And one of the things that we have unfortunately become extraordinarily skilled at is dealing with the transition of money and decisions that need to be made following somebody's death. And many people have no idea. Why would you have any idea of what to do? Generally, you deal with that once, maybe twice in your life. And it's not something you prep for. At Friedman Financial, it's something we're expert in and not something that I ever expected. I mean, look, if you've only been doing financial planning for 5 or 10 or 15 years, you don't have that kind of experience. But when we have 50 years of experience, I will tell you, we deal with this a lot, 12 to 15 times every single year. So you don't have to be alone out there. If you've lost a loved one, if you're not clear as to what happens next, if you're dealing with somebody who's facing a significant illness and you wonder, what am I going to do? Please, please, please feel free to call our office, 978-531-8108. These are important decisions. You and your family need to understand what the implications are, what the decisions are that need to be made, and what, if anything, you can do to preserve assets even longer, maybe to avoid probate, to reduce taxes. We can help in that area. After this show today, we're going to turn it over to Scott Whitley, who's got a Wicked Bites Radio. And I think Scott is on site at some point today. He's going to be out in Hampton Beach because today is the lobster roll eating contest that I know Scott has helped host out there at the Seafood Festival out in Hampton Beach for years. And so I'm excited to see how that goes. Unfortunately, I can't come to visit because did you know what's happening in 3 weeks? Biff, do you know what's coming up in 3 weeks?
What is coming up in 3 weeks?
Well, now? I will tell you. Thanks for asking.
Right.
Well, the Topsfield Fair starts in 3 weeks.
Wow.
Three weeks away. Yep. And so from this radio station, right after we're done here, I'm driving home. I'm picking up Laura and we're hopping in the vehicle and we're driving to Ryan's Deli in Vernon, Connecticut. Now, you're looking at me puzzled. Biff's going, what the heck is Ryan's Deli?
In Ryan's Deli in Connecticut.
Yeah, see, he's not Jewish. So, you know, you don't know, right, Biff? I'm not holding that against you.
I think I've heard of it. Well, maybe I've actually been there.
You probably have. It's in Vernon, Connecticut.
Yeah. So, world famous.
World famous. Ryan's Deli. So they make knishes. They make these big, huge knishes.
Big fan.
Yep. And we
big fan.
They're beef knishes. We don't do the potato ones.
No, that's
you're a beef guy.
Yep.
We did potato ones a couple years ago and they didn't work all so well. They didn't hold up all that well. But the beef ones, they are awesome. So we are picking up 800 giant beef knishes tonight, moving them to the freezers so that we will have them to sell for the Topsfield Fair at the B'nai B'rith booth in 3 weeks.
And tell me you won't pick up a corned beef sandwich.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to stay.
Tell me you will not.
You know that I will. But I'm going to do that. But also to let you know, with the B'nai B'rith booth, that you know I talk about the B'nai B'rith all the time, the 600 pounds of brisket, the hot pastrami, the potato the potato pancakes, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the meatball steak, the oy vey sandwich. That's right. That's coming back, too. But one of the things that we're doing, the 2nd of October, that's the first Saturday of the fair, just like Scott is doing the lobster roll eating contest, we got the quarter pound hot dog eating contest.
Wow.
Yeah, the Heber National Hot Dog Eating Contest.
There we go.
And I'm trying to convince Scott to come join me as co-MC.
Wouldn't that be cool?
And I think we'll have a good time doing that if he's available. And we draw huge crowds for this thing. And we've got a couple folks that are professional food eaters that have already reached out to me and they can't wait to be there. There's a $203 prize. It's the 203rd year of the Topsfield Fair. That's where the number comes from.
I got you.
That's what we do. And I can't wait to do that. So if you're interested and you want to be a participant in the hot dog eating contest, reach out to the Topsfield Fair. They'll get you on the list. But I can't wait to do this on Saturday. Can't wait to open up the booth. And I know that I'm up against the clock here, that we got to get out of here. But I also want to remind you that the Patriots can be heard right here on North Shore 104.9. Hey, what time's the game today? Is it 1 o'clock?
All right, so here's the deal. The kickoff is 4:25, therefore pregame starts at 1:30, and that can be heard, both can be heard, including the postgame, right here on North Shore 104.9.
All right, well, thanks for that, Biff, because I went looking here on the computer, and I was looking, what time is kickoff? And there does not seem to be a time for, you know, when I looked at the Patriots, I went to Patriots.com, it says the game's today, but there was no time attached to it. I thought it was kind of odd, but 4:25.
4:25 kickoff.
Oh, good, because I'll be back from Ryan's Deli. We'll already have the knishes delivered.
Will you already have them in the freezer?
They will already be in the freezer. Yeah. And so, it's really interesting. At the B'nai B'rith booth, and I know I got to get out of here, but we've cleaned up the place. I mean, granted, it's been almost two years since we've had the booth open.
Yeah.
We hired a professional cleaning company to come in last week. They cleaned the place. Today, they're in there painting the inside of the booth. Whoa. So we are going to look brand spanking new. I'm so excited to see everybody at the fair. Hey, if you would like to volunteer and work at the B'nai B'rith booth with us, drop me an email, Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. We need to fill 280 volunteer slots. We have about 200 of those slots filled, but I still got room for a few more. And I got to get out of here because I hear the music playing in the background, and I got to toss it over to Scott Whitley. He's got a few things to say, I'm sure, and then he's going to go watch people shove their mouths full of lobster rolls. Scott, have a great day. Enjoy today. Everybody, thanks for joining us. I'll see you back here next Sunday on North Shore 104.9 with Dollars and Cents. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity sub-accounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.